Holy Spirit, come. If you're sitting there thinking, man, I missed a chance, missed an opportunity, I was that close to going, don't worry, we're going to go right back into it. We've got 35 minutes. Welcome, first-time guests. Good morning. It's good to have you. I'm not going to apologize and say this is different. This is God. This is what we live for. This is what we live for. Hi, online church. Man, I wish you guys were here. It is awesome. Man. Hi, Pastor Keith. He's probably watching with Liz. They're up in Nashville enjoying a weekend away. Praise God for that. He asked me to speak, and I said, what was the topic? And he said, we don't really have one. We're not in a series. And I got to thinking about it, and we're in a series. We've had a two-week series going. 2 weeks ago, we talked about Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry, Jesus coming into Jerusalem, where he weeps over the city and says, how I've longed just to gather you together as a chick gathers her hens. Just this longing to gather the believers. And then we move into Easter, Resurrection Sunday, the crucifixion, the death of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus. So this week, the series would continue with the ascension and the instructions that Jesus gave the disciples. And the instructions were, go sit in a room and wait for the Holy Spirit to show up and then see what happens. They didn't have a plan. They didn't have an agenda. They didn't have a bunch of sermons pre-written. In fact, of all the things that Peter could pull from when the Holy Spirit came was he picked the small prophet Joel, the shepherd. And he jumps in the middle of this passage that says, rend your hearts, tear your hearts, tear your clothes, repent and turn to me so that I may relent. And then where Peter picks it up, he says, so that your young men can prophesy and your old men can dream dreams, and I can pour out my spirit on your sons and your daughters. And it came from this place where Jesus brought those who would listen to him to say, it's not about, I'm glad you're here this morning. And I'm not going to apologize, but get ready. I'm fired up. I'm glad you're in the seat. Pharisees filled the seats too. The Pharisees came in and said, man, I'm glad I'm not like that. Man, I'm glad I'm not messed up like him, like her, like him, like her. And then the one who were justified stood off to the side and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I am amazed that God, my name is Micah, for those, it's nice to meet you all. 5 years ago yesterday, all of my best efforts to destroy my life culminated in what should have been the most shattering experience of my life, where I deserved to lose everything in an instant. April 26, 2020. I had to go home, and I had to confess to my wife that I had been unfaithful, and that my pattern of behavior in life had caused me to lose my job. It caused us to lose our church and shattered everything that we knew. And I'm not, I grew up a Christian. I grew up in a Christian family, and I never had a testimony. Like, I just grew up in church. I always knew Jesus, and I was always like, I'd hear speakers come in and say something like I just said and be like, man, I wish I had a testimony like that. I don't. Not anymore, but it's mine. Because 5 years later, God has seen fit to take this broken vessel. And through a journey of healing and restoration, say, I need you to do something for me. I need you to do something that no one else can do. And he said that to each one of you here too. So the plan for the sermon was to show up today and see what God was going to do. So you all thought we didn't plan any of that. That was the plan from the beginning, and we're going to go right back to it, because I told the prayer team this morning, I said, I'm going to speak exactly as long as it takes to get to the point where we can practice what we preach. I can't stand still. You guys are just going to have to deal with the slow pacing. I didn't get the podium because I'm not going to look at it. 1 Samuel chapter 14 has one of my favorite stories in the Bible, and they're all up on the slide, but I'm just going to tell you the story. Story time. With a man named Jonathan. Now, Jonathan is the son of Saul, who's the first king of Israel. And in chapter 13 of 1 Samuel, Saul disobeys God to the point that God says, I have rejected him as king. So here's the story. Israel had God. All the surrounding people had kings. They said, we want a king too. And God said, but I am your king. They said, nah, it's not the same. And God said, I know it's not the same. That's why I'm your king. And they said, no, we want one. And he said, okay. And they picked Saul. And Saul mustered an army to fight the Philistines and do all the things that a good king should do. But Saul got so caught up in looking at what was going on around him and what people thought of him that he stopped caring about what God cared about and did the things that he thought would make the people happy. And God said, that's not what I wanted. I've rejected you. So 13 ends with that. Chapter 14 begins with Jonathan. Who's running lyrics back there? Brandon, you can do your best to keep up. I'm paraphrasing, but you can throw it up as we go. Jonathan says to his armor bearer, now his armor bearer obviously bared his armor, carried his stuff around, but he maintained it. He cared for it. It was a position of trust where Jonathan knew that his life was in the hands of his armor in battle, so to trust this young man with his armor was to trust him with his life. It was a sacred position for a young man to hold. So he said to his armor bearer, hey, let's go to the Philistine camp on the other side of this ravine. Because what Israel had done, what Saul did, is Saul provoked the Philistines, and the Philistines were like, we don't like that, and we have way more people than you, so we're just going to come snuff you out like a bug. So the Israelites are on one side, and there's this rocky crag that goes down in a ravine, and then a rocky crag that goes up in the Philistines. And Jonathan says to his armor bearer, let's go over to the Philistines, because maybe God will do something through us. Because nothing can stop God from saving by many or by few. And his armor bearer says, heck yeah, man. Do whatever is in your heart. I am with you. So, in one of the stupidest moves that a military-minded person could make, Jonathan set in motion this plan. Now, let's just back up and talk military strategy for just a real quick second. If you have a smaller force, and the enemy doesn't know what's coming, what is the element that you have on your side? Surprise! So what's the first thing that Jonathan does? He walks down into the middle of the ravine and says, hey guys! And they showed themselves to the Philistines. And then he says to his armor bearer, look, if they say stay here, we'll just wait and see what happens. But if they say come up, then we know the Lord has given them into our hand. What? Because at no point does it say that God told Jonathan any of this. There is a conviction of relationship with God that Jonathan is reliant on and says, God can use us, and if he calls us into the nest of the enemy, he is going to do something with us when we get there. So he's standing there, hey! And the Philistine said, look, the Israelites are crawling out of the holes where they've been hiding. Hey! Come up here. We want to show you something. Does anybody here have a big brother? Is anybody here a big brother? Yeah. I'm the big brother too. And when you say to little brother, come here, I want to show you something. When does it ever end good for little brother? It doesn't. Come up here. We want to show you something. What does Jonathan do? He gets pumped. Let's go. The Lord has given them into our hands. So then, as he approaches this military strategy, if you're going to fight, you would put on your armor and go up and fight. Jonathan starts crawling up on his hands and knees. His armor bearer is behind him. Who has the armor? Who has the sword? The guy in the back. He's crawling on his hands and knees into the enemy's camp. All of this just sounds like a recipe for disaster. And it was. Just not for Jonathan and the armor bearer. Because Jonathan gets up there and just starts walking. God brings fear into the camp. The ground shakes. The Philistines freak out. And they just start falling over as Jonathan is walking. Behind him, the armor bearer pulls out the sword and stabs them on the way by. He kills 24 of them before they get half an acre across. The Israelites on the other side of the ravine, the lookouts are watching and see chaos. Now see, Jonathan didn't tell anyone he was leaving. Why? Because if he told them, they'd say, no, that's a terrible idea. Don't go into a situation without a plan. Don't go in by yourself. Jonathan said, I'm going to see what God is going to do with a willing life. Now the Israelites are looking. They start panicking. Who's missing? They count. Jonathan's gone. Saul brings the priest, and there's a whole backstory to why Saul has a priest in the Ark of the Covenant with him. He's so messed up the sacrificial part with God that now he's just going to make sure he has a priest with him all the time so that things can't go wrong. He calls the priest, the Ark, what's going on? And then in a typical Jonathan fashion, he says, okay, never mind, stop. I'm going to take it into my own hands. He leads the army over to go help. They get there, and the Philistines are just killing each other. They're just panicked. And there's Israelites who had left Israel and were living among the Philistines that when they saw God moving, they turned on the Philistines and they rejoined the Israelite army. And the Israelites who were hiding in the caves, who had previously been scared, came out and joined the fight. Every single one of us in this room is one of the people in this story. Either we're the Jonathan that says, I have the conviction to just show up and say, God, here I am, use me. And there's a risk associated with that. The Philistines could have said, wait there, we'll come down. What then? Yeah, but what if? We don't ask, what if God doesn't show up? We say, what if he does? So maybe you're not in that place. Maybe we're not ready to just be the, all right. And what I'm not saying is, don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying go find the worst possible situation you can think of, walk into it and say, all right, God. I mean, you can. But you don't have to look for situations for God to grab a hold of your life and use you. You live them every day, every moment. And if you're not quite ready to do that, you can be the armor bearer. You can latch on to somebody that's living that way. You can latch on to someone, and here's the thing. We all know David killed Goliath, right? We good with that Bible story? Goliath has 4 recorded brothers who are also killed in the Bible. Do you know what the four men who killed those four giants all have in common? They all spent time with David. They learned how to kill a giant from the man who had done it. And here's the funny thing, they all killed them different ways. They didn't all go get a sling. It wasn't about replicating the process. It was about replicating the faith and the spirit and forging the relationship with God to do it the way that he called them to do it. I didn't know what was going to happen this morning, and I didn't care because I knew if God shows up, he's going to do what he's going to do. I will make room for you. Do whatever you want to. But God, I want some credit. I mean, I'm kind of running this. No! Jonathan didn't kill anybody. He didn't get any notches in his belt. He was just walking around. What is it you wanted to show me? What, is it over here? The armor bearer is trying to... It didn't matter. God was glorified in that situation. But it takes work. If you want to be with someone that's doing what you want to do, the onus is on you to grab a hold of them and not let them out of your sight. Elisha said to Elijah, I want a double portion of your blessing. Elijah wanted a double portion of his anointing. If Elijah could have had double, he would have. He couldn't give double. But he said to him, as long as you see me when I go, you can have it. And then he kept trying to send him away, and Elisha said, no. I'm following you. I'm going with you. If you want to go where someone is, then you grab a hold of them. Don't pester them, but stay close. I've got a testimony that has a lot of addiction and a lot of recovery steps, and I have young men that will come and talk to me, hey, I'm struggling with pornography as well. Can we meet? Absolutely. You tell me when. I am available, and then I don't hear anything. And I don't hear anything. Or we meet once and then they don't come back and they don't follow up. I want to reach out and I want to chase them, but I can't grab you by the scruff of the neck and drag you where you don't want to go. But if you tell me you want to go with me, then you're welcome. Do you have that person in front of you, or are you ready to be that person for someone coming up behind you? Or maybe you're just a part of the Israelite army and you weren't ready to be the one that just went down into the ravine and said, hey, let's see what God's going to do. But when God's on the move, now's the time to jump in. Today is one of those moments. We're just going to have some more prayer time here. We're going to have some more prayer time because I wanted to identify these categories, and I want each one of us to have an honest-to-goodness chance before God to pick the category you're in and get to the next one. Get to the next one. And everyone doesn't have to do it. That's fine. But you cannot stand before God and say, I never had a chance. That's it. We're going to have a chance because maybe you're here today, but as soon as you leave today, you're going to go right back in to living the life that the world wants to live. And this is just a box that you check, and you are just living with the Philistines, worshiping the false idols, doing what you want to do, and God only matters on Sunday morning and maybe a small group if you feel like joining it for a semester. If that's you, God is moving. Get out of the enemy's camp and get back into his kingdom of light. Or maybe there's just so much hurt that you just want to sit in your cave and not be seen and not do anything. God is on the move. Walk out of the darkness of that cave and into the glorious light of his kingdom. There is no shame. There is no guilt. There is no what took you so long. There is no, well, it's about time. There is no, I told you so's. There is love and there is grace and compassion. A word was given to me earlier. Maybe you are sitting in that cave so depressed that life doesn't even feel like it's worth living anymore. And God says, no. You can reflect my glory the way that no one else can. And if you don't, the world will never see it. You are that special. You are that unique. So I don't know which of those you are. Every day I probably feel a little bit different. But today, I said, God, you have done great things. You've done great things. We sang it. It is true. God, I'm going to give my best shot today to be a Jonathan. I don't know what you're going to do. I don't know if I'm going to see what you're doing. I don't know if I'm going to feel it. And we pray dangerous prayers. Break my heart for what breaks yours. God, do whatever you want to. And then he shows up. And he does what he wants to. So that's what we're going to do. I don't have a good plan. I don't have a plan. Prayer team. If you're on the prayer team, just go ahead and stand up right where you are. Any of my young people, any of my youth who went through Alpha and were baptized with the Holy Spirit on Holy Spirit night, stand up. It's activation time. Freely if you have received, freely give. I want you, if you're on the prayer team, I want you to find one of these young people that's standing up. There's a couple in the back, Ben here, some ladies in the front. Guy, find a guy. Ladies, find a lady, please. Just partner up. Break down the walls. Shake up the ground. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. We have the opportunity. If you just need to repent, start there. And then once you have a buddy, just go ahead and spread out. These are people who are committed daily to pray for you. And they do. And these young people showed up on a night that was all about just letting the Holy Spirit come and rest on them. And they said, God, I want it. Now, here's the great thing. A lot of them don't know any better. They don't know what they're about to do right now. Ben, you know what you're about to do? Ben has no idea. But here's the thing. The Spirit of the living God has filled him to capacity. He got baptized last week, man. It was amazing. The Holy Spirit has filled this young man to capacity. And the only way that he gets to continue to be filled is to let out what's in it. So he's just going to lay his hands on anybody that's willing and say, Holy Spirit, come. Here's the cool, you don't have to do anything. Once you say that, it's out of your hands. And it's time for the church to start doing the things that we sing about and that we pray about, because we can't put on a good enough show, a good enough presentation to win the world to Christ. It's when the power of the living God falls into a place and it is so thick that there's a cloud that becomes visible in the spiritual realm and you just can't escape it. There's an opportunity. There's an opportunity to pray for an impartation to go be that Jonathan that says, God, use me. That prayer for strength to be the armor bearer that says, God, show me the one that's walking the path I want to walk. Let me go and be mentored and give me the strength to cling to it. Maybe there's just I'm going through the motions of being at church every week, but it's time to move out of that and into being a catalyst for the kingdom of God. Maybe this is the only conversation you're going to have with God this week because you want to go do your own thing. He wants to use you. Do you know what Jesus did when he cast the demons, the legion of demons out of the demoniac and they're like, he's in the cemetery and he's like breaking chains and freaking out and he cleanses them. The guy wants to follow Jesus. The guy wants to go be a disciple. And Jesus said, no. If anybody's a candidate for like a reformation program and impact step three, by the way, today. I forgot to announce it. If anyone's a candidate to go through impact and learn his spiritual gifts and go through, and Jesus said, no, go back to your village and tell them all that God has done for you. And that man became the first missionary to the Gentiles. He didn't have any training. 15 minutes ago, he was demon-possessed, and you think you're in a bad spot? Today's the day of salvation. Come on. What does the world have to offer? A lot of temporary cotton candy. Or maybe there's just so much hurt that God wants to heal today that you get out of that cave. I don't know. I'm not going to watch. I'm not going to look at who. I'm not counting. I don't care. I care about each and every one of you recognizing that the cosmic emperor, the creator of the universe, died so that you could have this moment to take a step forward in relationship with him. So Holy Spirit, you know the hearts. You know the minds. You know the objections to getting prayed for. So in the name of Jesus, we cast out and take captive those thoughts, and we make them subject to the truth that Jesus came, he lived, he died, he rose again, and said, wait for the power of the Holy Spirit to come on you, and then go and do the stuff. Holy Spirit, come. Fill us to overflowing so that we can be used by you, be used for you, to bring glory to you. Don't miss an opportunity. Come and receive the Holy Spirit.
Nothing else will do. I just just want you and nothing else, and nothing else, and nothing else will do. I just want you and nothing else, and nothing else, nothing else will do.
Spirit of the living God, just fall afresh. Fall afresh on each one here. God, we thank you for what has been prayed. We thank you for what has been done. Seal it. God, thank you for these moments. Thank you that this is just the start. You told the disciples when they went to that upper room to wait until they received power, and from there the church was born. God, from here let the church be reborn. Let our hearts, let our mindset be every time that we gather in your name to be ready to do what you want to do. To be ready to move where you want to go, to be ready to wait where you want to wait, to take the testimony that you are working in each of our lives and go and say, this is what God has done for me. This is what my Savior Jesus has done for me. And if you're here today and all of this was just kind of, I don't really know about this. I don't really know who this Jesus is. Well, I'll tell you who Jesus is. He's your Savior. He died for you. You don't have to ask him to be it. He already is. And he is your Lord. One day every knee will bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You don't have to ask him to be that either. He is. The opportunity today is by the power of the Holy Spirit to have your eyes open to say, I believe that you are my Savior and my God. To take all that doubt like Thomas had, to fall on your knees and say, my Savior and my God. If you want to do that, come find us after service. Don't go anywhere. You don't have to go anywhere if you don't want to. We'll have Nehemiah. Can you guys just pull up a quieter post-service prayer list? We'll just keep some music going. We're gonna honor the schedule, but we're gonna honor what God is doing as well. So if you want to stay and just work stuff out with Him. You want to dump stuff out on Him? He can take it. You say whatever you need to say to Him. But here's the deal. When you're done talking,